Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
So I have the message I have this morning, and I may not get all the way through it because we did stay in the flow of Holy Spirit this morning and took longer in worship than what we normally do, but I believe it was very effective. I believe God was doing things that we could not see in the natural, but we were discerning in the spirit. When we were doing certain songs, I was seeing both us in the spirit, but also the angel armies marching on the city and shaking things that need to be shaken. And so sometimes we just have to sit in that place and stay there, not sit in passivity, but stay in the vein of the Lord and begin with our mouth to release what is needed that empowers the angelic host to do the bidding of the Lord. So sometimes in our worship in this house, it's not going to look like your typical, because we're going to stay in the vein with God to accomplish even what we might not understand in the moment, but that's where we have to trust that the Spirit of God is leading. So I appreciate you guys just moving with us and not being afraid to just stay put. Because the higher we go in our worship, in our exaltation of God, the greater the impact is in the Spirit. Not just here, but in a territory. And that's what we're after. It's a part of who we're created to be. And so I found it interesting that it fits in with the message I have, because last week I did Watch Your Words, and this week I'm doing The Power of Words. Do you know your words have power? And I'm going to start with the words of God, or the Word of God. I had an opportunity this week to answer someone who was upset at another person in the body of Christ because they said the Bible was not God. And I went back and listened to the message, and what he said was right. The Bible is the revelation of God. The Word is God. God is the Word. What we have in our Bible is the revelation, the testimony, the account, but the pages and the words on the page are not God Himself. You understand that, right? Y'all kind of looking at me funny. And religion gets us into thinking that this is everything. And it is the plumb line, so I'm getting ahead of myself. The Word of God, or the words of God, are living and they're eternal. They are filled with life and goodness. They're filled with truth and blessing. They're both written and proceeding. What do I mean by proceeding? They're continually coming forth from God. He spoke, right? And he continues to speak. Now, what he continues to speak will always agree with this. This is the standard, okay? So I want you to be sure you're hearing what I'm saying in all of this. It's a continuation. It's all congruent. But we can't limit with just what's written. Are y'all following me? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now let me ask you a question, given what I was just saying. Was this from the beginning? No. The one who breathed it was from the beginning. So the Word was manifested in Jesus Christ. or Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. The Word existed from the beginning before the words were formed. The Word existed before the words. The words proceed from the Word, right? The Word was with God. In other words, God is the source of all revelation. He is the source. He is one with. There is no beginning and no end to the Word, the Lord our God. The Word is God, a person. It's the word logos. Now, in our understanding, we've come to understand logos as being what is written. But when you go back to the original language, it is a word uttered. It is a living voice. It embodies the conception or idea that an idea had, but it has come to be understood as the written. The written is only the manifestation of what has been released as an idea, a concept from the very source of God Himself. Does that help? So that we're not confused. Yes, this is the Word of God, but it flows from the Word of God. God Himself, the Word. The Word was manifested in the person of Jesus the Christ. He was the embodiment, the manifestation of the very essence of God in bodily form. I think I'm landing on this because I was so taken by this woman's criticism and her anger, honestly. And I thought, God, is this common? And I felt like the Lord said there are many, because of our religious upbringing, that we have a form of bibliolatry, where we've made the Bible an idol apart from our worship of God. How many do you know that can quote Scripture, but the Scripture has never made an impact on their life? So they've got the rules, the regulations, they can quote it, they can teach it, they can exposit it far better than I can. And yet the fruit of the life of the Word is not in them. See, that's not what God intended. This is a weapon, which we'll get into in a minute, but it's not a weapon to be used against each other. It's not a weapon of legalism. It is a weapon against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. It's a weapon to divide asunder in us between the thoughts and the intents and the heart, between the bone and the marrow, between our soul and spirit. It's not the weapon for me to use at you or you to use at me. It's time for us to grow up. And this word is going out into the spirit over this territory as much as it's coming into this room. Because a religious spirit will always take the written word and use it as a weapon. See, the Word of God, the Bible, is the revelation of God and His kingdom. It's God's gift to humanity, expressing the essence of who He is. It's spoken by Holy Spirit to sovereignly chosen vessels to record the spoken revelation of God. In other words, God looked down through the lens of time and He chose men and women to write. He chose them and He spoke to them in a very unique way. And through the course of time, confirmation of time, it has been canonized that these are the very words of God, the inspired, indelible, infallible Word of God. that stands eternally as a testimony of who he is. It's the revelation. When you read the Word of God and you are open by the Spirit of God to read and comprehend, there are words that come off the page that you may have read 1,000 times before, and suddenly by the Spirit of God, those words come alive. Those words are no longer just words on a page. They become life to you because of the Spirit of God breathing on that passage, on that word. Sometimes it's just a word. It's not even a passage. Maybe a phrase. Suddenly. It's like me with the word right now. It's like, okay, there's more here we need to grab. I can't get off of it. This book, as recorded and canonized, is the eternal plumb line of truth. It's the absolute standard of truth. It's revealing the heart, the mind, and the will of God. All other revelation and words are measured by the Word of God. That's important for us right now as we are activating and stirring up the prophetic gift of the Holy Spirit in us, that we would prophesy and speak the very mind of God to another person. You better know the Word if you're going to prophesy a word. If you attempt to prophesy a word without knowledge of the Word, the likelihood of you going astray is great. Because when you hear the voice of God, guess whose voice it sounds like? Yours. And if you don't have the plumb line of God's Word in you, what you hear can be tainted with your own thoughts easily. So it's very important that if you are going to propose and suppose to prophesy, that you have the Word of God. If you're going to prophesy, meditate on the Word of God. If you're going to speak as the oracles of God to another person, you better be living in the Word. I don't trust people that prophesy that don't know the Word of God. We'll step out into a little bit of territory here. How many of you read Mario Murillo's Where Have You Been, Mario? Blog this week? If you haven't, I encourage you to read it. And in lest you question, where do I stand? I agree with him. There are seers and prophets out there talking about mountains of jello and Santa Claus in heaven and cows driving tractors. I'm not kidding. I know, what? First time I heard it, I said, you've got to be kidding me, right? No, this is someone that if I were to call their name, you would know who I was talking about. If you want to ask me after the service, I'll tell you. But see, we need to know the Word of God so that when we hear people that sound hyper-spiritual and sound like they're prophesying the Word of the Lord, and there's something about it that sounds, well, that sounds like maybe it could be God, but then if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, toss it. And we've got to come to a place by the Word of God and the Spirit of God at work inside of us that discernment is quickened. Not criticism, not condemnation, discernment. There are certain things that that people will send me. This is not in my notes, by the way. There's certain things people send me of prophetic ministry for me to listen to. I'll click it, and usually within 30 seconds, I'm like, nope. Because I feel it. Sometimes God will say, go ahead and listen so that you'll know what it is that you're seeing, what you're discerning. See, if we're really going to operate as a prophetic people to push back against darkness, we can have no darkness in us. If you're thinking heaven is filled with Santa Claus and rivers of Jell-O and cows on tractors, we got another thing coming. Yes, I did pull out some of the outlandish, but the outlandish is out there. See, we've got to know the Word of God, the infallible, irrefutable, inspired Word of God. When you fill yourself with His Word, when you prophesy, guess what's going to come out? His Word. It may come out in a different way. It may come out, but it won't come out in crazy. So then we have to take, we've looked at the Word of God, we then have to look at the words of man. Are our words, and this goes back a little bit to last week, are our words filled with life or death, hope or despair, truth or lies? Are our words sweet? Are they bitter? Are they releasing blessings or curses? The words of man have to, they flow out of what we think upon. What we fix our minds on will be what comes out of our mouths. The words and ways of God are the deceitful, devious ways of fallen humanity. What are you thinking on? Proverbs 4:20-24 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you." What is devious speech? Devious speech is speech that is intended to manipulate and to cause truth to be concealed and draw people into a snare. There's a lot of devious speech going on in the world right now. Last night, a couple of the TV stations in this city that will remain unnamed reported of the violence in the streets, insinuating and blaming the police for the violence that the protesters were doing. That's devious speech. That's deceitful speech. We can have none of that in us. If we're going to speak words of life, if we're going to speak the very oracles of God, if we're going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of Christ, we can have no deceitful or devious speech within our mouths. Secondly, the words of man are used to express what is in our heart. Pouring out complaints and desires can be either righteous or unrighteous. Have you ever poured out a complaint to God? It's righteous. You pour out what's going on. God, I don't get it. I'm frustrated. But we pour it out to Him. We don't stay there. You pour it out in faith of looking for His answer. But it can also be unrighteous in murmuring and complaining and speaking evil and just... Anybody get there? Things are going bad and you just... I can't believe they did that again. I can't believe that was what was said. And we go into this complaining mode. That's not righteous. Or you go to your neighbor and you start complaining about the other person. Smile at me. That's not righteous. But it can be. See, it depends on the posture of our heart. Where is your heart in the releasing of the complaint? Is your heart like pouring it out to God, like, God, I don't know what to do with this. Everything's going astray around me. The enemy's coming at me one way and then the other. I had one night this week that I wrestled all night long. I mean, it was like all, you know what, was coming against me. And I wrestled. I got up the next morning and I said, God, this ain't fun. I poured out my complaint. I need some rest. And this is the person who puts their head on the pillow and is out like a light. But there was a war going on. There were arrows being shot. I know you go through that as well. So pour out that complaint before God and ask for mercy and direction. And what would you have me to do? Ask him to intervene on your behalf. What do I need? I kept saying, God, what do I need to do to adjust on this? Is there an open door? Is there something going on that I need to deal with? And then enter into it. And then the next two nights have been blessed sleep. No more tossing, no more turning. It's been wonderful. But I had to pour out my complaint and receive the grace to keep moving. Psalm 64, 1 through 5 says, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bitter speech as their arrow. To shoot from concealment at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. Does that sound like what's going on in our world today? So you see David in the midst of a time like we're in a time. Went before the Lord and said, hear the cry of my complaint. Hear my prayer. This is what's going on. Hear. That's a good kind of a complaint. That's a good posture of the heart. That instead of looking at all of it and just complaining and murmuring about it, we're taking our complaint before the Lord and say, do you see this? He does, but doesn't it feel good to cry out to God and say, do you see this? I mean, God knows that. He's made an open way for us to come, to cry out and say, God, they're coming after us. They're coming after us hard. Preserve our life. We're trusting in you. Hide us, protect us from all of those that are seeking to do evil. And thirdly, the words of man can be used as a weapon, a sword. See, that weapon can either be bitterness and deception as a weapon of destruction against God and his people, but it also can be God's word in our mouths as a victorious weapon against the enemy. Which sword's coming out of your mouth? Proverbs 5, 4, and 5 says, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down the path to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. That is in the midst of a passage where Solomon, by the word of God, through Solomon, is saying, do not follow in the path of the adulterous woman. Now, we can think morality adulterous, but let me tell you, there is an adulterous move in the earth today to have people serve two gods. That's adultery, folks. In fact, I will say this. Physical adultery happens when spiritual adultery happens first. It's a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality. A divided heart will lead you down a path of destruction. So we have to watch that we don't fall prey to, and we do not allow the sword coming out of that seductive evil of the adulteress to penetrate us. Because that's the words coming out of that spirit, a Jezebel, if you will, a seductress, the witchcraft, the manipulator. It's sharp. It's two-edged. If you allow it to sting you and infect you with the poison at the tip of its arrow, you will be infected. So watch carefully what you're listening to. Watch carefully what you're thinking on. What voices are you listening to? Is it the voice that brings life, or is it the voice that pulls you into death? Because it will lead to death. Psalm 57:4 says, "My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword." Men and women, apart from the Spirit of God, can easily go into having tongues that are sharp like spears and swords and filled with destruction. All you have to do is listen to the language of people that don't know Christ. But can I just speak to us as followers of Christ for a minute? If we're not careful, we can go there. Because we're living in a contentious time. The pressures and the contention all around us can provoke us to say things that are not in alignment with the Word of God. Let's just get honest about it. I don't say that as a condemnation. I say it, God, watch over us. Teach us, train us, get us in the Word of God so that when thoughts begin to come up, they get filtered through the Word of God before they come out of our mouth. We don't want our mouths to defy what we say we believe. Do you know that that can happen? That your mouth can defy the very thing that you say you believe. Let me ask this question. Do you believe that your prodigals are coming home? Yes. Then watch what we say about them. You notice I said we. Because it's really easy when they do something boneheaded and stupid. Right? Anybody else have some that do that? That you want to lash out. Your mouth wants to murmur, complain, and speak words against them that are contrary to God's word. And we're sowing seeds with our words. I'm saying, God, help me. When I get frustrated, zip it until I can come with the word of the Lord. And I'm not talking about just talking to them. I'm talking about what I say, period. Because it's real easy. I'm telling you, can y'all tell God's taking me to task on this stuff? I mean, it's like, okay, whew, pull me back in. But here's what our mouth needs to be filled with. Psalm 149, 6 through 9. "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This is the honor of all his godly ones." Praise the Lord. So our mouth needs to be filled with high praises. Songs like we did today. Declarations like we had today. Where in the midst of all of the conflict, in the midst of principalities and powers raging to take our nation, we as God's people need our mouth filled with "You alone are exalted. You have no rival. You have no equal. You alone are exalted over all." That becomes a weapon that God says, now I can use that on those principalities and powers. See, when we focus here, he goes, I got it. See, in our humanity, we tend to look at the this stuff, and God says, look at me. And really, the warfare, the coming against all the spiritual warfare, we bind, we take the sword of the Spirit, we take the Word of God. If you are not coming at it from the place of exalting God first, you're coming from here rather than here. And when you're coming from here, you're typically operating in the arm of the flesh. That's when backlash happens. But when you have ascended through the declarations, decrees, the exaltation of Christ, and then you hear what he says, and you begin to decree what he's saying out into the Spirit, he sends his angels to go do the bidding for you, and you don't get backlash. Quit giving the enemy room to backlash on you. And quit thinking, quit thinking that, well, I'm doing something right if I'm getting backlash. I cannot stand it when people say to me, well, it's just the typical backlash. No, it's not. We're giving the enemy too much credit. I don't expect backlash. If I end up getting some, I go, okay, God, what did I do that was out of order? Because if I operate in his order, I don't get any. The worst backlash I ever got was because I had a check in my spirit, but I was following a leader that thought we had authority to do stuff we didn't have authority to do. I should have listened to the Spirit of God in me. See, there's this balance with submitting to authority. When they're taking you into a place that you don't feel like you've got the authority to go, don't go. Don't go. Because if you don't have peace on the inside of you to go, you don't have the authority even if they do. Okay, and we'll say that again. If you don't have peace on the inside of you to go into an assignment, don't go. Because the person going and leading may have peace to go. But if you don't, you're out of order. And there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know what? I don't think I'm supposed to be on this one. That's honor. That's wisdom for you and for the rest of the team. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of our heart. See, we need the word of God to penetrate into us like a sword, to divide, to expose those things that we don't see. The problem with deception is that you don't know it. But the Word of God is able to cut beyond what we don't know and bring light. It comes like a sword that is light, and it brings revelation. It will divide. You may one minute think you're okay over here. The word of God comes into you, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. God, I repent. I shift. It can be that simple. See, sometimes we make repentance this complicated thing, and God says, just hear what I'm saying, turn and go in a new way. Submit to the sword that just came. And move. That's the kind of sword I want. I want it working in me first, so then it can work through me as the Spirit gives utterance. So what words will we speak? Ephesians 4:25 to 30 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as it is good for edification, according to the need at the moment. Isn't that interesting? The need at the moment. So that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve, Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm going to tell you, that passage right there can lead us in life. That passage would protect us on many, many fronts. So what words will we speak? We're going to lay aside falsehood and speak truth. We're going to learn to be angry and sin not. Now, why did I choose to put that in here? Because sometimes in religion, we're told that being angry is a sin. This passage tells us that we can be angry and sin not. So I'm asking the Lord to show us how to be angry and sin not, because there's a lot in the world today to be angry over. When I see children being taught some of what they're being taught in the schools today, I'm angry. And it is a righteous anger. When I see the treatment of some people against other people, I'm angry. When I hear protesters rising up and proclaiming injustice when one of them shot a police officer, I'm angry. See, anger that goes into sin is what the protesters have just done. But what does anger that doesn't go into sin look like? I think we hit on it some of this morning in our exaltation of God, in our praise. We took the energy of the anger against unrighteousness and we exalted God and trusted Him. We've got to learn how. See, it's only possible to be angry and sin not by the leading of Holy Spirit and having our minds renewed by the Word of God. So what words will we speak? We're going to speak that which is edifying and encouraging to release grace to others. See, as we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we release words of encouragement and edification, then there is a release of the grace, which is the empowerment of God to be and do according to His good pleasure, that is unlocked and ignited. How many of you need the grace of God unlocked and ignited in a new way? Every day. And see, we're to encourage one another every day. Speak words of encouragement. And then I found it in this passage that it is incredibly interesting that in the middle of this, the scripture says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, by our attitudes, by our words, we can grieve Holy Spirit. See, the words of our mouth, the attitudes of our heart, and the action of our lives can grieve Holy Spirit. So we can't allow bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice to reside in us. We must allow the Spirit of God to bring us into the goodness, peace, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That we demonstrate everything that we do in the love of God. That we release blessings and not curses. That we choose words of life. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. These are the words of Jesus. He spoke this right after He spoke to them saying that you will eat of My body and drink of My blood. And they were offended at His words. They didn't understand what He was saying. But He said to them, I know these are tough words. I know they're tough words. I know you don't understand it yet. It's offensive. But know that the words that I'm giving you, they are spirit and they are life. See, there are words that God is and will be speaking to us that they're going to be tough. We're going to taste it and we're going to eat the scroll like it talks about in Ezekiel. We're going to take what God says and we're going to go, oh yeah, God, that's Your word. And then He says, now I want you to do this with it. And all of a sudden, there's this unease. Anybody else ever experienced that when God gives you a word and then you start digesting it and what it means for you, what you have to let go of, what you have to embrace, how you have to turn and move. See, God is saying, I am going to be giving us some words in the days ahead, in the midst of all this consternation in the nation. And we're going to have to know that His words are life. They're not death. They're spirit and they're life. They're not going to be very religious. I'm just going to tell you. They're going to be very liberating. They're not always going to be very safe. I don't think that Mario Murillo's blog that he put out this week was very safe. But it was necessary. It's bringing life. It's bringing the Spirit. He could have chosen to protect himself, because he's coming against some pretty popular main names. I'm just going to say it that way. It would have been safer for him to not say anything. But God gave him a mandate, and he locked himself away with the Lord for an extended period of time before he gave it. See, that's a word of life. He came to a place where he knew it was life and not death. We must remember that God's going to give us some things that will initially offend our soul, but as we press in, we'll see that it's life to us and life to others. In the Amplified Version, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver." Aren't we grateful? "The flesh conveys no benefit. There is no profit at all in the flesh. The words, the truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life." Remember that. So in choosing words of life, repent, turn, and walk in a new way. Matthew 3:2 in the Amplified says, "And saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The distance, the divide between heaven and earth is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Can you feel it? See, as heaven grows closer and the divide between heaven and earth gets thinner, the call to repentance comes to another level. Where we walked in the last season was okay because that's where we were, right? So don't look back in condemnation. But as the Spirit of God comes and weighs in on us, He's going to require and reveal some things in us that we didn't see before. So when you see it, don't go into condemnation. It is the love of God drawing us into repentance. It's His loving kindness. It's God Himself saying, turn, run to me. And He'll take care of it. And then give yourself to having time for your mind to be renewed by the Word of God. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will, what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let the Word of God saturate you. Spend extended times in the Word of God. Turn something else off and just sit with the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Feed your spirit man. We're entering in today into the month of Shavuot, and it's a time, one of the aspects of Shavuot is that of righteousness. How do we produce righteousness in our life? The Word of God renewing us. What are you eating? Eat deeply of the Word of God. Drink deeply of the Spirit of God and allow the Word and the Spirit to transform you. And then pray over yourself for grace to speak words of life. Psalm 41:3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." This has been a word, a scripture that God has had me pray over my life for decades. And when I find myself getting a little rough around the edges with my mouth, I go back. Anybody else ever get rough around the edges on your words? Come on. God set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the doors of my lips. Because we don't want to sin against God. We want our mouths to be instruments of blessing and life, of goodness, of mercy. We want God to be able to trust us with the words coming out of our mouth, even as a weapon of warfare against the enemy. That's where He wants us to be. So, Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You would set a guard over all of our lips, a watch over our mouths, that we might not sin against You. That You would bring us into deeper and deeper places of communion with You by the Spirit and the Word. That the words that we speak will be life and not death. Filled with hope and not despair. Filled with goodness and blessings and not curses. Father, would You do such a work among us as we exalt You, as we live before You, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will always be pleasing, acceptable unto You, our Lord, our God, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Let Your name be praised when we speak and when we're silent because of the very fruit of our lives. And we do exalt You, God. And we bless You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you all. I'll see you tonight at 5:00 for a great night of praise and worship. Invite some others to come back with you and let's shift the atmosphere of this city. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.